Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning.
It's just you and me today.
I know. Poor Michael is sick.
Or listeners.
He's just using this as an excuse to sleep in, which
yeah,
I would also do at some point.
I was going to say, I think out of all three of us, it's you that deserves to skip a Monday to sleep in for the case of sleeping in. If you're actually sick, we always let our talent go and be rested, right?
Yeah, I feel like at the end of like this, the next like month, you're going to be able to line up all like a still of me from each week and be like, you just watch me progressively get more and more tired.
It's the perks of being an adult, right? It really does show. I hate it, but I also love it because every conference, especially in the back in the day when we would just like go from conference to conference and we'd be all staying up until like 3 a.m. Ella specifically from AutoHost was like walked up to me one day and it was like bright in the morning. I had coffee, I showered, it was like fresh, you know, it wasn't a whole day's worth of tiredness stacked up. And she was like, you look like shit and you look really tired, you should probably go take a nap. It's like, oof, thanks, okay,
rough,
but it's okay. Michael, we hope you're feeling better soon, my friend. He's probably tuning in to the live if he's not napping, so you know, shout out to Michael Golden for carrying the show a lot of the weeks. But this is going to be a fun one. You and I haven't done one together in a long time. So we have a good list of topics and stories. But before we do that, are you okay? You doing okay? You're in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Okay, let's make sure.
I'm back in New Orleans. I got here last night. I'm going back to Miami tomorrow night. I'm in one of our studios, so that's why I'm coming to you from bed. There's no table. But yeah, you know, it's good. I think that the tired is, I mean, obviously it's like fun to like, you know, bitch and moan about it, but it's all good things, you know, we're growing and that's great. We've joked that it's not drinking out of a fire hose, it's drinking out of the Hoover Dam. So it's good, but you're like, oh my God, I would love just like a little break. But no, it's good. It's all good problems to have.
Good problems to have. Growth, not at all costs, but growth is good. Just make sure you take some time off for yourself, Andreas, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but just for the sake of doing it, give Brandy a break. We would love Brandy not to look more and more tired every week.
I know. So I have a bachelorette party coming up, not next weekend, but the weekend after. And my friend was like, oh, I'm like, you know, we were talking about it. And I'm like, I'm excited to sleep. And she was like, on the bachelorette party? I'm like, yeah, I'm like excited to sleep and have like some red wine and go to bed early.
Man, you're going to be the life of the party.
I know. Times have really changed.
Really changed. Very much so. You and I, are definitely going downhill from here. Oh, man. Anyways, well,
for all of the listeners out there, thanks for tuning in. For Tanner and our live viewers, thanks for also tuning in. Yes, water quality test.
Tanner, water quality testing the Hoover Dam. Yeah, please do. I can't afford some sort of waterborne illness on top of all of this.
Heck no. Heck no. Well, if you are also tuning into the live, make sure you let us know where you're tuning in from. We would love to know. Our hotel crew does a great job at getting people to tell their location where they're tuning in. So if you're tuning in on the live right now, we'd love to know as well. All right, Brandy, let's touch on this one topic quickly, because this is going to be one that I think there's not a lot of talk about, in the sense of we just need to keep paying attention and watching more happen. But Marriott Homes and Villas, they launched their AI search tool, which has been the first on the OTA side. We haven't seen much yet, which we know this is going to be a race, just like we have a credit card loyalty rewards distribution race. But they launched their AI search. So, excuse me. Yeah. It's exciting.
It's exciting. And, you know, it's always... a lot of these things have been like in talks, and I mean, you're just hearing the word, the letters AI, I think, are just like permanently seared into all of our brains at this point. So excited to see what their search platform is like. And hopefully, I mean, obviously they have a good team over at Marriott, and you know, that they'll do a good job. I think that once everybody kind of catches up in this race, it'll be kind of a battle for the best in terms of like who can really nail this. So good luck to Marriott, and congrats to being, you know, out of the gate first.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's always exciting to see who dabbles or puts their toe in the water. Not saying that others haven't, because we obviously know there's an acquisition on Airbnb side and $200 million bet on AI. There's, you know, Booking and Expedia who've been playing with AI tools in the past. It's nothing new from the OTA side in the sense of back-end AI. Now it's going to be the front-end user experience, which is going to be really, really interesting, especially for property managers, hoteliers. So again, yeah, keep watching this space. But before we actually jump into the next couple of topics, I want to talk about doing something well, and that's our partners at Sojo. They do something very well, and that's making sure that property managers are on top of it when it comes to amenities for their guests. But not only that, Sojo wanted us to let you guys know that they're really good at gifts, and this is a great time, especially as a lot of property managers and hoteliers are getting geared up for a very busy, crazy summer. So gifts is a way for you to leverage the automation to deliver a surprise and delight for your guests upon check-in with gifting. You can also use the gifting for your owners. So if you're trying to retain a good owner that you love working with and is working well with you and your team, use Sojo Gifts. You can claim 30-day free trial with Sojo amenities, link in the show notes. And of course, I'm going to put it right here into the live video with LinkedIn and YouTube and all that good stuff. So thank you, Sojo, for making this show so awesome. We love working with you. Shout out to Marsha, to Max, and to Joy and the rest of the team. You guys are great. I love our monthly calls. So anyways, that's my lovely shout out to the team.
A friend of mine, it's Miami Music Week. It just finished, which is, you know, big party week, lots of concerts, lots of shows, big music festival. And my friend ran out of coffee, and then he's pulling, like trying to search for more coffee. And he said he pulled out a couple of the bags of Sojo coffee that I had given him. And like, oh, look at that. It's in my daily life. So Sojo came to the rescue to fuel some more dancing this week.
I love that. I love that. Not just from the vacation rental itself, but from the festivals, from property to real life. We love it. Okay. So this is exciting. What one do you want to go into next? Because I think we could talk about both, but I would love
let's talk about Sonder really quickly. All right. This is not going to be, there's nothing really to deep dive on this. And we've kind of talked about this over the last couple, specifically the last.
Okay. I don't know if this is just me, but if Brandy is frozen, I'm so sorry. that you're frozen and I'm interrupting you, or I'm frozen. Either way, I'm going to say for the listeners, the live viewers, the story we're discussing right now is Sonder. Oh, she's back. There she is.
I'm back. Okay. I'm so sorry. We're having Wi-Fi repairs at our building, and it's obviously happening here, affecting me.
No worries. Sorry. I was like, do I jump in now? Am I interrupting her? Did I freeze? I think so.
No, it's we're redoing our entire Wi-Fi system in this building.
Okay.
The suspense.
Alondra, suspense.
I appreciate everybody being patient. Real life happening.
I love it. Okay, let's start from the top. Sonder, baby.
Sonder. Okay, so I think that the overarching theme that we've been going over for a long time is that this is a company in crisis. And a lot of people have been paying attention to like their earnings reports and things like that. Like you can see the cash situation. You can make assumptions about what their runway is, all of this. But it seems like the kind of the coming undone has really accelerated in the last couple of weeks, because we have the announcement last week that they weren't going to be able to file their earnings reports in a timely fashion and that they had to redo 2 years worth of financials. And then this week they're being basically sued by all their investors. And I think that that's kind of a natural thing. I'm not totally shocked. I wouldn't think that they'd be able to announce like, hey, we messed up all our financials for 2 years. Definitely when we redo that, it's not going to be positive. It's going to have a negative impact on the financial health of the company, all of that. So I don't know enough about what happens in these kinds of like legal situations, but I think what we all should be kind of thinking about is like, does this kind of unravel Sonder, or does this kind of push them to spin off into something else? And is that, you know, will we see the company kind of break apart into the more profitable or the more successful sides of the business? They definitely have been having success in the international market and more focusing on hotels or like the powered by Sonders. So this is just there's not too much to go into here. Although according to the article, if you are a Sonder shareholder and feel you are entitled to compensation, get on the lawsuit. So just something to keep an eye on how this is going to continue to unfold. I don't think this is the last time we'll see kind of like a spicy headline in relation to Sonder.
Yeah. And another note too, I know there's been a couple weeks in a row, not just with Sonder that we've talked about on the show, but we've had, you know, a couple of weeks of Airbnb news and all these other things. Right. And we try to make sure that when we're putting these, you know, episodes together, that we're finding the headlines that are relevant, that are, you know, actually something that we think our audience, as there's quite a few live viewers on and we have a significant amount of listeners on episode basis reoccurring, is that we want to find like stories that are actually relevant and that are trackable and something that can be discussed broadly across the sector, at least for short-term rentals. I know our hotel crew does the same, and a couple of our other soon-to-be-announced stuff will carry on that same theme. But we're not trying to trash Sonder. Just because we talk about Sonder multiple times, so like ideally it's because it's in the news, we're seeing it, we're hearing about it, it's a top. So I want to make that little quick disclaimer, but also for the listeners and viewers. So the law office of Frank R. Cruz announced the investigation that was pushed on from the concerned investors. And the reason why this really did spark up, as Brandy already mentioned, was in December 31st of 2022, the first three quarters of 2022, and then the end of 2023, they're like, no longer can you rely on the reporting that we've basically put on. This will impact valuation and impairment of operating leases, the right use of assets and related items. Like it's a whole mess. Like you have valuation issues, you have asset issues, probably cash flow issues.
Definitely cash flow issues.
yeah. It's going to be crazy. And shout out to Terry White. That is what your podcast does best. Best news industry, baby. Anyways, thank you, Terry. Get me excited. Early morning energy up in here. But I just think it's going to be, like you said, Brandy, I don't know. Part of me, in the spirit of entrepreneurship and having the industry in a good light, wants the profitable and the good side to spin off and do something good and become like a good household name. But then also part of me just wants it to be done, you know? Like, hey, accept your loss. We have, like, not every entrepreneurship or business journey venture is going to be successful. And sometimes it's okay to just let it go, I think, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a bit bigger than that now, you know? And so that's where you can't really accept defeat. I think the defeat has to like happen to you. I don't know if there's a way gracefully.
I'm not saying like bow out, but I'm saying like, you know, yeah. At the end of the day, when it goes out, I don't want the profitable pieces or the good pieces to piece off literally, in the sense of it, just accept the loss and move on.
I want them to go to other operators.
Oh, quick. Yeah, just kidding. I want the great pieces to do that then too. I want all the things Brandy just said, 100%.
But yeah, so something to keep an eye on, and I think it's important. You know, we have in our industry, we have Sonder and Vekasa, who are the kind of like you know, poster children in our business, or no, I mean not poster children, but they're public and they're kind of companies that we can track, like how is the broader public market responding to our industry? And they're just kind of good, kind of like temperature gauges. Obviously, a lot of people have a lot of feeling. We will not go down the Vekasa side of this because that could probably be a whole month series and lots of opinions there. But it is just important, I think, to track these things and know, like, okay, you know, now that these companies from our industry are under much more broad public scrutiny, where are like the holes in everything and what is working and what is not working and all of that. So yeah, obviously we'll keep, you know, talking about it, but just something to pay attention to.
Yeah. Especially as the operators that want to grow and you want scale and you want this enterprise version of property management, whether it's in single family homes or urban, finding the holes, as you just pointed out, is great because now you know what not to do. I think it's always a good example. You know, it's like you can look at the people that are great examples you admire that you want to copy or that you want to emulate, but then, you know, there's always good and the bad, which is finding things not to do and how not to go down.
Yeah. And I think another aspect of this is funding and how you actually, you know, provide capital to the business. And, you know, going public isn't necessarily like the goal or shouldn't be the goal for everyone. People might look at that as like, you know, if you're a venture backed company, like, oh, I just go through all these series and I go public and like, that's the goal. But plenty of companies that are incredibly successful in our industry have not gone that route at all. So just knowing like that just shouldn't necessarily be the like star on the horizon that you're going towards. Making sure that you have your business goals clear in mind, like as long as it's successful and what for your business and what you think is right for your team, then that's what you should be aiming for, not necessarily these other goals or milestones that other companies are striving to achieve.
There's nothing wrong with providing great profit to shareholders, to providing great employment benefits, to having a good work-life alignment, to all these other things, to have growth. Like these are good things to have. You can do it without going public and racing to the bottom at sometimes. Yeah. It feels like that. Anyways, so yeah, we'll keep watching on this as we all are probably watching it. But this story is a little exciting for me. I'm a big fan, as a lot of our listeners probably know, of ride sharing, of Uber, of, you know, all these great companies that move the world, literally. Shout out Uber and Dara, best CEO out there. Kind of a fanboy.
Little fanboy moment.
Just a little. I only have a few of those in my roster, but I'm a big fan of this recent update. I sent it to our group chat. So there's been, from an investment standpoint, some startups that have received over $250 million of funding from Uber and a couple other venture firms, which Uber is not a venture firm, to disclaim. They are definitely a great company, but they've finally turned over profit. So having profit on their balance sheet, I think now allows them to expand and deploy capital a little bit differently than they probably were under the helm of Travis and a couple other CEOs. So one of the companies called Move received $100 million in funding, and Move provides financial or financing to help rideshare drivers purchase cars. So they raised $100 million out of that $280, $250 that we saw in the funding realm, and it was in a Series B funding round with a valuation of $750 million. Uber invested alongside a couple other firms, and this is great because basically what Move does is they finance the vehicle for you to become a Uber driver in partnership with Uber, and then they help you pay back the loan that they give you within a 48-month period. So it's actually better financing than getting screwed over at like some, you know, dealership is trying to give you like an 84-month loan term through some crazy bank and all this other stuff. So I'm excited for it. I personally have not had a car for like 3 years, and I'm a big fan of ride sharing. So I don't call it ride sharing because I don't share rides with people, but you know what I'm saying. Uber driving.
It's so funny. I'm a Lyft girl through and through, but
all right, let's battle it out right now.
Yeah, it's I think it's really, this whole space is really interesting. I really wonder, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical about a lot of these companies that have come from the gig economy and really how they're going to survive in the long term. But it's exciting to see that like this kind of investment and just kind of activity. I feel like we had like a little bit of a lull, understandably, with just kind of investment activity. So it's nice to see people are in the playground again, I guess.
Well, it's funny because it's like we're gonna see more of this, and I'm not gonna share any details without, you know, giving out some stuff that probably isn't fully announced or public. But obviously, we saw there was like a huge lift. I think like 2021, early 2022, where there was just funding. Funding, acquisition, funding, like just tons of activity. Now, obviously, like you said, Brandy, there's a lull, and it's been kind of like, oh, it's nice to get those stories now because you're like, oh, finally, there's some capital going into the market. But now we're seeing, I think, a pattern of companies, not venture firms, companies that turn profit, that do really good cash flow, that have a good size team, they have this excess profitability and money on the table. Obviously, if investors are paid back and however that, you know, company structure is set up, you have to make sure that you're doing what's best for the company first. But now with all this cash floating around and sitting there, yeah, they can deploy it into growth. But sometimes the only way to really grow is by deploying into other companies that help you grow. And I think Uber is smart for this. And you're going to see this more in the space. You know, Muse launched their own venture fund to basically acquire and invest into the industry. You're going to see more of that because I think, you know, you can only get so big until you need to actually deploy cash into other things rather than building everything in-house and kind of creating a, like, yes, there's vertical integration, but vertical integration can only go so far, I think. And sometimes you just need to go outside your sector.
Yeah, well, I'm a pretty vocal fan of not building things in-house, but different size.
Well, if you're a tech company, yeah, then you need to build stuff in-house. If you're an operator, you should not be building tech in-house. Like you, well,
Brandy, but I also
you
think
should
for
not
these
be
big...
building a guestie.
No. I would literally, yeah, no. But I think also for these tech firms, though, there's obviously that's like their bread and butter is building technology, but acquiring companies where they can just like skip whole phases of development and that's how they're going to kind of win that race, I think is smart.
Yeah, Operto did it with DAC. They said, hey, we can build this in a year or we can acquire them and integrate them into the tech stack and to the service and product features in 3 months. Obviously, it probably took a little bit longer for the acquisition, but you know, let's say post-acquisition, it takes 3 to 4 months to get the engineering team to make it integrate and have the product, you know, connect. Great. You just accelerated that and you shaved 8 months, 9 months, maybe 7, depending on all that stuff. So really exciting. Those are the main stories and topics for this episode. So for our listeners tuning in live, I obviously have seen Terry White, Tanner Cummings, Alondra, Boosley, which is Mr. Mark Simpson. One, tell us some things that you guys are hearing, talking about. We would love to know, so that way we either talk about it now or bring it up into a live episode. But Brandy, there's a question I wanted to ask you, and I gave Michael and you a heads up pre-episode, even though Michael is now sick and out. I think it was just his way of avoiding this question. Yeah, his way of avoiding this question. But what are some misconceptions in the short-term rental industry, or about the short-term rental industry, vacation rental industry, that you would like to talk about? Because I think it's interesting as GMH is growing, right? We have a short-term rental crew on Mondays. We have a hotel crew on Wednesdays, soon to be more. And, you know, it's really interesting because you see, like, we'll just say this. It's really interesting to see because Good Morning Hospitality got number 4 out of the top 40 podcasts in hospitality. And it was funny because, like, shout out to Steve Turk and Sarah Dandashi, but they got the mention of Good Morning Hospitality. And they've been with the crew for a lot less of a time than you, me, Michael have been doing the show, right? So it's like, okay, the hotel sector got their spotlight, which is great. But what do you think the misconceptions are with short-term rentals? Do you think there is some inside the greater pie of hospitality or in just the mainstream media?
Yeah, I kind of looked at this in two ways. So I think in terms of, like, our hospitality brethren, I think we're kind of like the ugly stepchild, you know, in hospitality.
Or the redheaded stepchild. I'll accept that.
Yeah,
one
I
too.
Wasn't trying to throw any shade at you. But I think that we're still seeing, I mean, the reality is that hotel lobbies in a lot of markets and are actively fighting tooth and nail to get rid of or make it incredibly difficult to have short-term rentals because we're a threat to their business. So that is a reality. And so even though our industries are becoming more and more blurred in terms of product offering and, like, guest expectations and all of that, they're definitely still separate industries and we're seen as a threat. But I feel like not taken as seriously in some respects. So, you know, when big hospitality groups or associations or whatever are aggregating big players in the hospitality space, it's not surprising that hotels are all of those big, like, those are the groups that, though, you know, that are making the lists or that are considered first or anything like that, because I think the STR is still considered, yeah, just, like, not as polished, not as professional, that it's a bunch of, quote, Airbnb hosts. You know, I still think that there's that attitude. And I mean, the hotel crew, not ours, but, like, in general, the hotel industry is way more corporate, way more, I would say, like, polished and kind of, I think, maybe a little uptight, just because they have, like, procedures and, you know, everything is a little bit more buttoned up. But then on the other side, from, like, a customer perception, and this just, you know, the SNL skit about Airbnb is really, like, I think that that is what a lot of people think the industry is, like, that you're going into some poorly designed, poorly furnished, poorly managed home that's just filled with, you know, beat up IKEA furniture from 2012. And, you know, like, that's the view that a lot of people have. But it's kind of hypocritical because a lot of those people probably stay in short-term rentals way more often than they realize and have really great experiences. And so everything I'm about to say is anecdotal, but I've had, like, my stepsister stayed at a Vacasa property and she was saying, oh, I didn't stay at an Airbnb. I, like, was staying at a Vacasa house. And she's like, but it was odd. Like, we booked it through Vrbo. And, like, it's because the way that all the different brands in the industry are pushing themselves, I think it is confusing for the consumer. Like, oh, I'm staying at a Vrbo or an more realistically an Airbnb, but they don't, like, the company behind that is often not seen. And so I think that this, we've been talking a lot in the industry about professionalization and standardization. And I think part of me always thought that that meant that we were losing, like, a little bit of the soul of the industry. But then the reality is it's kind of bringing us into, like, the next phase of, like, it's bringing us into adulthood as an industry, like, kind of like having all of our ducks in a row. But I still think that there is this, like, public persona of our industry that is a little bit sloppy, I think.
Yeah. And I wish we had Jamie Lane on this just for the sake of clarity on what I'm about to say, because I'm sure I'm going to get one of these stats wrong. But majority of the, like, quote unquote property inventory on Airbnb specifically is hosts, right? Like, the big professional managers, whether they're urban or vacation destination managers, is a smaller portion of the pie. So from what you just said, like, I get why that may be the kind of image that the mainstream traveler has, right? Like, I'm staying in an Airbnb, but I booked on, or I'm staying at a Vrbo, not an Airbnb, and they kind of get confused because a lot of them, you know, truly are like the individual hosts. So I think from my point of view, kind of on what you just said, I don't think there's anything wrong with standardization and procedures and kind of buttoning things up. But like you said, there is a way. And the nice thing is, it's kind of a natural thing in our industry that there is a way to stand out and be unique and, like, have the property not be a cookie cutter, you know, square box and all these things, like a hotel room under a Marriott Courtyard or a Residence Inn or a whatever, a Hilton Garden Inn, whatever the soft brands are, and how they all kind of have that same feel no matter where you go.
A lot of beige.
But, you know, there's a great opportunity. And I think Dennis from Castiola posted about this on LinkedIn a while ago, talking about standardization and professionalism and how it's not, like, he basically defined the line of, like, when is it being professional to have these kind of the same linen, the same amenities, the coffee setup, like the standards, right? Like, having the basic things that kind of guests expect, to then also going above the top and designing a great game room and having a great this and a great that, that is different and not like any of the other properties in your portfolio. So I think this is something, like, it's a fine dance, right? And yeah, like, I've had many of hotel friends be like, why do you guys call yourself short-term rentals? Aren't hotels really a short-term rental too? It's like, yes,
they are.
You guys are.
Yeah.
You're commercial. And most of us outside of maybe Brandy are residential, right? Like, there is a difference in kind of, like, setup and legality, but at the end of the day, we're all part of a bigger pie. I think it's just, like you said, I'm going to say it. Terry White's comment, which is, the reality is that the hotel industry is it's older than dirt, and we have a much better tech than they do, and 100% better podcast than they do too. Shout out to
thank you, Terry.
But yeah, we have pretty great podcasts. But our hotel crew, like Steve Turk, he plays on both sides, right? He's got Tangy Management, and he also is traditional Mr. Hotelier, Mr. Miami. He's been in the hotel sector for a very long time. So I think, you know, it's not this or that, or us versus them, in my opinion. It's definitely, there's room to play for both.
Well, I think that is also the side of it, is that it's the us versus them mentality is much more on the side of hotels, where, I mean, there's huge efforts from hotel lobbies to pass legislation that limit short-term rentals, and they are trying to curb or eliminate the threats to their business. So, which I understand. I think that that's kind of like a reason. I mean, I wish they weren't, obviously, but
just join the dark side. Join the dark side instead of trying to shut us down. Join us. Come on over. The water's nice.
But yeah, the water's nice. But I think that that's, you know, as to Dennis's point about, like, when do you kind of make something truly unique and doing all of this, and then there's the reality of, like, I need to add X number of units I need to scale to a certain amount in order to make the business viable. And it is inevitable that when you scale that you lose some of that ability, you know, to have, like, you are going to have, there's a reason why there's a lot of beige box hotel rooms, and it's because that was like the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to expand. So it's kind of, it's a really delicate dance. And I think, I don't know, I'm sure there are other operators out there who are, you know, trying to grow, who can relate to this. It's like, okay, you know, you want to maintain, you want all of your buildings to have the certain same feel or look and all this stuff. And then you're like, or there's the reality of like, I have to, like, in order to keep the business growing, I have to accept certain types of product, or I can't be as picky about what goes in every single unit. You know, it really kind of depends on the type of business that you're running, I think.
Yeah, no, 100% agreed. And we're very small, like compared to you and a lot of other people that we've had on the show or that tune in, we're very much a smaller management company for my business with Adam Knight, Recreation Rentals, shout out. But at the end of the day, our theme, as we are growing, we're getting towards this threshold that we finally find like the property type that we really like, the owner that we really like we do really well in this certain like category. And yes, you can't duplicate that in every market, but as we're growing, it's okay, how do we make sure that a guest that stays with us in West Seattle feels like they're still staying with us in Whidbey Island, in Snoqualmie, in Britannia Beach, Canada, even our property in Orlando, Florida. Like, we want them to have the same feel, even though the home is different and unique and the destination is different and unique, but the bathrobes are still the great comfort, the slippers, the Sojo boxes and the coffee, the X, Y, and Z's are all the same, and they're all going to feel the same as you go to the property. You know what to expect. And I think, like, if obviously, like you said, it's going to change as we scale, but if we can make that be a core theme as we bring on new properties and just try our best to stay consistent with that, I think you'll drive that kind of hotel professionalism, button up feel, but also staying unique and kind of creative. I don't know. It's just kind of my thinking. It's a fun dance. It's a fine line to ride, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
You get it. You get it.
I get it.
Yeah, she gets it. She gets it, guys. Who am I talking to here? What am I talking about? I don't even know. But anyways, okay, so this has been fun. We're 5 minutes over. I know Terry White wants the show to extend to like an hour long. Unfortunately, it's not in the programming yet, but maybe one of these days we'll start doing longer episodes. Brandy, anything you want to leave the listeners with before we sign off today?
No, just, you know, I being more in the operation, like the real day to day, again, in the last like month and a half, it's a slog. The operation side is, and I feel for all the people that are gearing up for high season, getting ready, like trying to get as prepared as possible. And for all the things that go, like, you can plan as much as you want to, and then there's always these little surprises. I think that the operations teams are really what keep the like all of our businesses going. And I hope you all are well caffeinated and prioritize sleep.
100%. I get geek out about sleep as I've been wearing my Whoop and getting all sleep.
Nice.
But anyways, that is a good message to leave everybody on. I promise I won't ramble. But for all the listeners out there, thank you guys so much. Seriously, love doing the show every Monday, every Wednesday. Getting the hotel crew up and live is so much fun. They bring so much good stuff. So make sure you like and subscribe to our live viewers who comment in, our loyalists, our super fans, from Tanner to Alondra to Terry White to even Mark Simpson, Mr. Book Direct himself. Thank you guys for tuning in on the live show. It makes this even more fun just knowing that there's people tuning in as we're struggling through Wi-Fi issues and Brandy freezing and being one co-host down. It's always a great sentiment to have the community part of this. So thank you guys so much. Like and subscribe. Tune in again on Wednesday with Sarah and Steve, and make sure to see you guys again next week.